This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and a female health and health news channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Suzanne LeBlanc, Chief Medical Officer at the Focused Ultrasound Foundation and also a radiologist at University MRI in Boca Raton, Florida. Suzanne is here to speak with us about Fibroids Awareness Week and what women should know about new advances in treatment for this condition. Dr. LeBlanc, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And you're most welcome. Our pleasure. So Dr. LeBlanc, if you would, for starters, can you explain to our audience what are uterine fibroids?
Sure. Uterine fibroids are typically benign tumors of the uterus. Now, everyone knows the uterus is a muscle, right? It expands during pregnancy, it contracts when you have to give birth. So the fibroids are actually a focal collection of smooth muscle cells organized in a ball. So normally your muscle, like your bicep or your muscle in your uterus, is organized in layers. When people have uterine fibroids, they have these smooth muscle cells organized in a focal ball.
If you would, touch on how common are fibroids and what are the symptoms here?
Yeah, so uterine fibroids are actually quite common. Up to 80% of women, by the time they turn 50, will have uterine fibroids. So you can start getting them as early as your early 20s, and then they become more prevalent, unfortunately, as we grow older. There's certain populations of people that actually develop fibroids more commonly. African American women typically develop more fibroids. Hispanic women develop more fibroids. So it's actually quite common. Now, not everyone is going to be symptomatic from their fibroids. Sometimes the fibroids stay small, like the size of a pea, and women will never even know that they have them. But sometimes these fibroids can grow really, really large, the size of a plum, the size of a grapefruit, the size of a watermelon even sometimes. So as the fibroids get bigger, they can cause more symptoms. And also, depending on the location in the uterus, the fibroids can cause problems. So fibroids that are towards the outer surface of the uterus are called subserosal fibroids, and they can impinge on surrounding structures. So if one is pooching out from the uterine wall and hitting you in the abdominal muscle, you may actually feel it when you lie down or when you go to bend over. Some fibroids are inside the wall of the uterus. Those are called intramural fibroids. And those, just as they grow bigger, can cause mass effect on adjacent structures. They can also put some mass effect on the endometrium. The endometrium is the central cavity of the uterus where a baby grows. And then there are other fibroids that are submucosal. Those are right underneath that endometrial lining where a baby would grow. And the fibroids in that location can be very, very symptomatic. The patients can have heavy bleeding during their menstrual cycles. It can impinge on the ability to carry a baby, so it can impinge on fertility. So the size of the fibroids greatly varies. The location of the fibroids can vary as well and cause different symptoms. So it's unbelievable that, you know, up to 80% of women have these fibroids, but usually about one-fourth of them will have symptoms. And again, the symptoms, you know, can vary. And women sometimes have symptoms that they don't even know are attributable to fibroids. The heavy bleeding during the menstrual cycles is probably the most typical symptom that people have and suspect that they may have a fibroid. But there are other symptoms like urinary frequency, because the uterus gets so heavy and those fibroids push down on the bladder. So every time the bladder tries to fill, patients feel like they have to go to the bathroom again. So urinary frequency is a common complaint. Pelvic fullness, because the uterus sometimes gets as big as a 3 or 4 month pregnancy. So people feel like they're pregnant. They may even look like they're pregnant because it pushes the abdominal wall out. So, you know, fibroids can cause just a host of symptoms. And again, people don't realize it's actually quite common.
By the sounds of it, it certainly does sound common, and it is quite eye-opening as well. How do fibroids affect a woman's fertility?
Yeah. So, you know, fertility is a problem, and there can be so many different causes of fertility, but one problem that can lead to fertility is the fibroids. So that endometrium is the cavity inside the central part of the uterus, and that's where the babies grow. So if that endometrium is curved at all or bumpy at all because there's a fibroid pushing on it, or sometimes the fibroids can even be in the cavity, it will prevent the embryo from inserting. The embryo needs a nice, flat surface. It needs room to grow. And if there's a fibroid there, the surface could be curved, so it couldn't implant properly. Or as the embryo starts to grow, it pushes into the fibroid, and the fibroid will say you can't grow anymore. So by the mass effect, the fibroids can impinge on fertility.
Today we are visiting with Dr. Suzanne LeBlanc, Chief Medical Officer at the Focused Ultrasound Foundation and also a radiologist at University MRI in Boca Raton, Florida, here on eHealth Radio's Female Health and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. So Dr. LeBlanc, what are the most common treatments for fibroids and what are the pros and the cons of each?
Yeah, well, it's good for women that there are different treatment options, so women have a choice, and that's really important. Women should be really educated on the pros and cons of all of the different treatment regimens and decide which treatment is best for them, right? So every treatment has good points and bad points about it, and I always tell them everything is a risk-benefit ratio. How much risk are you willing to take for how much benefit? So if you're very mildly symptomatic and you want to take control of your symptoms, you can do something as easy as just taking some medicines, some hormonal medicines that can actually decrease the size of the fibroid so that it can take it from, let's say, the size of a plum back down to the size of a prune so the patients feel it less. So medicine is probably the most least invasive thing that can be done, although they are hormonal agents, so they can have some side effects. So, for example, there's a medicine called Lupron, which can decrease the size of the fibroids and make patients feel better. However, the side effect of the Lupron is that it actually, in most cases, puts women in a temporary menopause. So they'll usually stop getting their period. They may have some vaginal dryness, some emotional lability, some temporary bone loss. But as soon as you stop taking that medicine, which you're only supposed to take it for about 6 months, you'll go back to your normal premenopausal status. The unfortunate thing about that medicine is that even though it works great for the time you're on it to control the symptoms, as soon as you come off the medicine, if you're truly not in menopause naturally, the fibroids will grow back. So typically these medicines are used for women who are close to menopause or to decrease the size of a fibroid before any definitive treatment. So let's say it takes a large fibroid the size of a grapefruit and makes it the size of a plum so that surgery is easier or a focused ultrasound curative procedure is easier. So that's probably the shortest acting treatment and the least invasive is the medical therapy. The most aggressive treatment on the other end is a total hysterectomy. It's the only definitive treatment for fibroids because once you get rid of the uterus, then the fibroids obviously have no chance of growing back. So it's a major operation, a hysterectomy. Today, it can be performed either open with what people commonly refer to as like a bikini incision, or it can be done laparoscopically. And some places, you stay in the hospital for 1 to 3 days, and I've even heard of some places that are actually doing it as an outpatient. But it is major invasive surgery. Anesthesia is needed. So the cons of this procedure are that there are the risks of anesthesia. The risks of major surgery can include bleeding, infection, and adhesions. And the biggest thing about the hysterectomy is that some women don't want to lose that sense of what makes them feminine, and they don't want to lose their reproductive capability if they're not sure if they're family complete or not. So it's a very aggressive but definitive treatment for a typically benign process. So now we've got these aggressive treatments like hysterectomy and the lesser invasive things like the medical therapy. And then in between, there are actually a host of treatments as well. There's a procedure called uterine artery embolization, and that's where catheters are inserted into the arteries that supply the blood flow for the fibroids. So the thought is if you cut off the blood supply to the fibroids will die. So it's an effective procedure for typically also women who have multiple fibroids where they want all the fibroids treated at once. The drawbacks of the procedure is that it's typically quite painful. So most people are very knowledgeable about the fact that when someone's having a heart attack, when there's decreased blood flow to the heart, people feel chest pain. That's what a heart attack is. So when you cut off the blood supply to the uterus, and I'm sorry, when you cut off a blood supply to the fibroids, they'll also get that pain, right? So it can be painful. The recuperation period can be 2 to 6 weeks. And the other drawbacks are that it's possible that when they cut off the blood supply to the fibroid, that you can also cut off the blood supply to the ovaries, which would put you in a permanent menopause. So that is obviously not a good outcome in someone who's younger. And the other problem is that when you decrease the blood flow to the fibroids, there's also a chance you could decrease the blood flow to the uterus overall. And there is some fear that if someone were to get pregnant after uterine artery embolization, the uterus would not be able to hold a successful pregnancy because there's overall decreased blood flow to the uterus. So the good points about it is that it can treat multiple fibroids. The bad part about that procedure is that the recuperation period can be painful and long, and there is potential implications on going into early menopause and compromising the blood flow to the uterus for a future pregnancy. So that's another option, though, for patients. Another good option is the CuraWave procedure. And this procedure is very interesting because it targets the fibroids directly, so it doesn't touch the normal uterine tissue. Okay, so patients are inside an MRI machine. It's the best way we have it looking at anatomy. And then we use an ultrasound beam, kind of like a laser beam, but there's no radiation. It's just like the ultrasound you use when you're pregnant or have gallstones. And we can direct this ultrasound beam with sufficient energy into the fibroid and kill the fibroid tissue and leave the normal uterine tissue around it intact. And what's amazing about this procedure is that it goes right through the skin. So there's no incisions, no catheters, no anesthesia. The patients are awake on the table. And after the procedure, they get up from the procedure and they're discharged within 15 to 30 minutes. And other than the fact that they can't drive a car that day, there's no limitation. I've had patients that do yoga that night or go running the next day. So it's a really good treatment option for women who want their fibroids treated. They don't want a long recuperation period, and they don't want significant risk, because when you don't enter the body, either through surgery or like with catheters and uterine artery embolization, the complication rate goes significantly down. So there's a very, very small risk of bleeding or bowel injury or a skin burn in very, very, very few patients. So it's a good alternative treatment. The other treatment option that patients have, if they want to get rid of their fibroids but not lose their uterus, is a procedure called myomectomy. And that's where they go in at surgery, and then they actually have to cut the uterine wall to scoop out the fibroids and then sew the uterine wall up. So the good news is you get rid of your fibroids, so you're kind of starting at ground zero. The bad news is you have to cut the normal uterine tissue, so you can actually develop scar tissue, which could impinge on fertility in the future, and also it's major surgery again with the risks of major surgery. So women have a choice, which is great, and each option has its pros and its cons, and women should be educated so they know which treatment option is best for them.
Thanks for breaking that down very, very thoroughly, and we appreciate that. So, Dr. LeBling, are there any new less invasive treatments that help women preserve their fertility options?
Well, I think of all of those options, that the newest one is the CuraWave procedure, the MR-guided focused ultrasound procedure. And in 2015, the FDA approved it to be used in patients who wanted to maintain their fertility. And this was really important because this option is the only one that doesn't touch the normal uterine tissue. So again, with a myomectomy, you have to cut in the normal uterine wall to get the fibroid out and then sew it up. So that affects the normal uterus. The uterine artery embolization could potentially decrease the blood flow to the normal uterus. So the CuraWave procedure is a very interesting option because it is the only non-invasive treatment that can target the fibroids and not affect the normal uterine tissue. So that's really exciting that the FDA relaxed the guidelines in 2015, so women who were not family complete yet and wanted to preserve the normal uterus could have this option.
Certainly informative, and we really appreciate all the information shared here today. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a final word, or anything else we should know on the topic that we have been covering today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I encourage everyone out there to be your biggest proponent. Knowledge is power. Become knowledgeable about all these different treatment options. There's a website called fibroideducation.com, and on that website there is a ton of information about the anatomy of fibroids, the various clinical treatment options, and specifically there's a part about the science of CuraWave, this MR-guided focused ultrasound procedure, which is non-invasive. And it's a great website, lots of educational material to view there, patient testimonials. But interestingly, there's also a quiz that women can take. It's an easy fibroid quiz. And based on the answers to that quiz, it will direct you to a treatment that is perhaps best for you in your particular situation. So go to the website, take the education quiz, take the fibroid quiz, see which option is best for you, and then research all of the options, and knowledge is power.
It certainly is. Well, Dr. LeBlanc, it has been our pleasure to have had you. Thanks so much for being with us here today on eHealth Radio, and have yourself a great rest of the day.
Thank you for doing what you do. It's so important.
And it certainly is our pleasure. We have been speaking with Dr. Suzanne LeBlanc, Chief Medical Officer at the Focused Ultrasound Foundation, and also a radiologist at University MRI in Boca Raton, Florida. And for more information, visit fibroideducation.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Female Health and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.